Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. Mount Lebanon Baptist Church is located on Baird's Creek Road. That is 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just off of Highway 105 South. If you go out of Boone on 105 South, that would be the road what we call locally towards Fosco or Banner Elk. We are just about 2 miles, 3 miles on 105 South. And 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you to come visit with us in any or all of our services. And we have a church website that has our meeting times, directions to the church or address to the church, phone number, all of those things. It is mountlebanonbc.org. Anyway, we'd love for you to come be with us. I want to say hello to my son, Noah. He's here with us today. We appreciate him and all the help that he gives us in the radio ministry. Noah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450 WATA, those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP, and those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth. We do appreciate those who listen in, and we appreciate these radio stations as well.
Thank you, Noah. I want to also mention, while we're at it, and I mentioned this last week, but the fall semester of the Victory Bible Institute is going to get underway very soon, this coming month in August. August the 14th for residents. That is, the residents are talking about those that actually go to the school in Roane Mountain, Tennessee. Now, I go over there and teach on every Thursday night. We have in-house classes at the Victory Bible Institute in Roane Mountain, Tennessee. That starts August 14th. The satellite schools start the Thursday after that, August the 21st. Mount Lebanon hosts a satellite location. Classes are every Thursday night from 6:30 to 9:20. There are three classes on Thursday nights. It is a three-year program. This is our second time doing this program or doing this rotation at Mount Lebanon. And if you are interested in studying the Bible along with us, this is a wonderful opportunity. It is designed to be cost-effective. It is designed for those wanting to further their Bible education to be able to stay at home. A lot of our students, they work full-time jobs. We have correspondents. We have internet students. We have satellite schools. And we have resident students. We'd love for you to come and visit with us, join with us in studying this fall. Now, the fall semester, 2014, three classes. The first class is New Testament Survey Part 1. Pastor Tull Oaks is the instructor there. Then the second class, we're studying the book of Romans. Brother Kenneth Forbes is the instructor for that class. And then the third class is Kingdom of the Cults, and I'm the instructor in that class. You can call our church phone number, 828-963-4596, or you can go online, vbcministries.org. That's vbcministries.org. And we'd love for you to come if you're interested, or maybe you know somebody that is. So I wanted to mention that today before we got started. And also I want to mention this coming Saturday, August the 2nd, Bible Way Baptist Church is planning a pro-Israel rally. And I'm sure that many of our listeners, you're aware of, there's many rallies and demonstrations going on many places in the world, and a lot of them are anti-Israel. Well, they're going to have a pro-Israel rally this Saturday. Anybody interested is invited to meet at the church at 10:30 a.m., and they're going to have a time of prayer. Brother Ethan Green told me probably 15, 20 minutes, something like that. Then they will move to Boone and going to have the rally for about an hour from 11 to 12 in Boone. And the final meeting place has not been finalized, so that's all I know for right now. But if you are interested in finding out more information, you can call Pastor Michael Green or Ethan Green. That's his son. He is a preacher as well. And the number to contact them concerning the pro-Israel rally is 828-297-1182. And so if you're interested in that, that's this coming Saturday, August the 2nd, a pro-Israel rally beginning at Bible Way Baptist Church at 10:30 a.m. And you can call 828-297-1182. So we wanted to mention that as well. That's coming up later on this week. Well, we're teaching through the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is talking about the first 10 amendments to the United States Constitution, and I looked back in my notes. We have taken the past 6 weeks to study Articles 5, 6, and 7. The 5th, 6th, and 7th article all have to do in some way or another with the jury, whether it's a grand jury or a jury member on a criminal case. They all have to do with the subject of a jury. I was very encouraged. I came across this past weekend an article. It was dated July the 26th. It was posted on a website called the freethoughtproject.com. Now, I'm not intimately familiar with everything on that website, but I did come across this article, and it was very good. It's called the freethoughtproject.com, and the title to the article was this: Activists Install Jury Nullification Billboard in D.C. Plan More in Major U.S. Cities. And I wanted to just read about the first few sentences to that article. It said, with few options left for people to protect themselves from the ever-growing police state, many activists are beginning to raise awareness about jury nullification. Now, I've spent several weeks and a lot of time talking about jury nullification, or sometimes it's called jury lawlessness. And what that is the right of the jury member. He has two options, guilty, not guilty. And so he has the option to return a not guilty verdict. And it goes on in that article and it says jury nullification is basically the right for any juror to not only judge the facts of the case, but to also actually judge the validity of the law itself. And I said this many times, if the law is a stupid law, if it's a dumb law, if it's an unjust law, the jury member also has the ability to judge the validity of that law by returning a not guilty verdict on the behalf of the defendant. So it is encouraging from time to time we come across incidents, we come across examples of people waking up to the importance of our United States Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our civil rights, the genius and the inspiration of the Declaration of Independence. We just hope and pray that it's not too little, too late. Today, we are going to move along. I said last week we were moving along from the subject of the jury, and we're going to move along to the Eighth Amendment. Now, I want to read the Eighth Amendment, and it goes like this. It's one of the shorter ones, but it says this: excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And so I want to point out the fact that the Bill of Rights came to us from a people who did not trust their government. I have mentioned that before. I believe it's worth mentioning again. The Bill of Rights, the people at that time, they did not trust their government. They had just come out from under. They had fought for their independence from Britain. And so they've got a brand new government and this brand new constitution. It's very new as far as a new government is concerned, but they did not trust governmental power. They did not trust governmental authority. If you want to, you will not find a better example of that than just looking at the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The main intent and purpose of the Second Amendment is protection from a tyrannical government. They did not trust the government. They did not trust their promises. They did not trust that the Constitution was good enough. They said, we want further assurances. That's what the introduction to the Bill of Rights says, further assurances. We want to make sure that we get it right this time. Now, our government today will brand a person unpatriotic, un-American, if you dare to question anything that they do. If you question their activities, if you question their authority, if you question their methods, anything like that, you will get branded as being unpatriotic, un-American. But I want to tell you today that one of the most American patriotic things you can do is question your government. Question what they are doing. This goes to the very roots of our American governmental system, that it was built not upon trust, but upon distrust. Isn't that amazing? We've gotten along pretty good over the past 200 years, considering that we started out not on trust, but distrust. And our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, is centered around not trusting what the government is doing. So Thomas Jefferson said, bind them down with the chains of the Constitution. But let me give you an example of what I was talking about. You'll get branded. You will get chastised for questioning what is going on in the government circles. Now, this is an example that comes from the White House to Congress. There is a lady, and this was a video that went viral over the past weekend, and I've seen it on several different websites, but I'm just going to explain to you what went on. A lady named Eleanor Holmes Norton, she's the non-voting congressional representative for the District of Columbia. And I'm reading from an article. It said she angrily sputtered during a congressional hearing Friday that the White House should not be held up to scrutiny, saying that there was no right to know what it was doing behind closed doors. And this is what she said. Now, she was being questioned by Congress, a congressional hearing. I believe it was Mr. Isis that was asking the questions, but I'm not exactly sure there. Seems like I just remember that. But here's what she said. When Congress was questioning her concerning something that was going on in the White House or in the executive administration, here's what she said. She said, you don't have a right to know everything in a separation of powers government, my friend. And if you go and you find that on the website, that is exactly the way she said it, very haughtily. You don't have a right to know everything in a separation of powers government, my friend. That's what she said. Well, that is not my understanding of separation of powers. Separation of powers was not put there to keep the different different branches of government secretive one from another. It is not only called separation of powers, but it is called a system of checks and balances. How are you going to have checks and balances if one branch of government is not accountable in some way to the other, or they're not open and transparent about what they are doing? I want to read just a little bit about something that Thomas Jefferson said. He warned many times in many places about government becoming too authoritarian, that there not being a proper set of checks and balances being upon the government. He said this in 1821. He said, and you think about this, this is exactly what has happened. But he warned that this would happen if we the people did not keep a proper check upon what was going on in government circles. He said this, when all government in little as in great things shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power. And you know that is exactly what has happened. All power is centered in Washington, D.C., what's going on in federal government. So that's what he said. In little as in great things shall be drawn to Washington as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided of one government on another, and will become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated. What he was warning about, he said, if all power is centralized in Washington, then it will become as venal and oppressive as the government they had just fought in order to free themselves from. Our whole system of government in America is founded upon distrust of government, not trust. Not hand them the checkbook and say, okay, we trust you guys, go up there and, you know, just do your best. No, sir, that is not how our founders set up this government. So to ask questions and to guard civil liberties is as American as baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie. You cannot get any more American than that. But I also want to say this, neither is it unchristian or unchristlike to expose corruption in those in authority. Now, I know sometimes people have different ideas about what Christians should say, what churches, what part churches should take. Should a pastor say anything about the president or the governor or the mayor or the town council or the laws of the lands? Let's take an example from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I say that as a Christian, my Lord and Savior. What example did he give? Now, sometimes people have a wrong idea about the Lord. They set him up as being the big bad guy, being mad at everybody and condemning everybody. But actually, the Lord Jesus Christ, although there is always the right and the wrong and breaking of the law, the Pharisees accused him. And I preached a message along these lines. In fact, the name of it is The Greatest Friend a Sinner Ever Had. And Jesus Christ was accused by the scribes and the Pharisees of being a friend of sinners. Well, he was a friend of sinners. He was always willing to forgive for sin. But now there was a group of people that Jesus Christ was very hard upon, very harsh upon in his remarks and in things that he said unto them. You might think that was very uncharacteristic. But now, who did the Lord Jesus call vipers? Who did he call hypocrites? It was not the sinner crowd. It was the self-righteous crowd. It was the authority of that day. It was the scribes and the Pharisees. Let me give you an example from the scripture. Now, you have to keep in mind that at that time, I'm talking about historically speaking, when Jesus lived and walked upon the earth, at that time, the authority was the scribes and the Pharisees for the Jewish people. And so here's one example of what Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees. These were the people that were over the law, civil and spiritual law. Matthew chapter 23, verse number 35, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." And then after that in the Bible, there is an exclamation point. So how did he say it? Probably sounded just like it sounds when you read it. He said, "You hypocrites." He said, "For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter." They put a lot of emphasis on ceremony, how things looked outwardly. They put a lot of emphasis on washing the dishes and the plates and the platters and the cups and everything. So he said, "Ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." And I thought it was very interesting to find those two words together there. He said, "You are full of extortion and excess." And the Eighth Amendment in the Bill of Rights is designed to protect us from those very things, extortion and excess. Extortion, if you look up the definition of it, it's the act of extorting, the act of wresting anything from a person by force, duress, menaces, authority, or by any undue exercise of power. And Mr. Noah Webster in 1828 gave for example of that definition. He took his example from the Eighth Amendment, believe that or not. And I'm going to read that again because the Eighth Amendment uses the word excessive two times. And so Mr. Webster, under extortion or under excess, he put excessive bail shall not be required. Well, there's extortion, excess. It says beyond the established laws or beyond the bounds of justice, unreasonable. And so the Eighth Amendment is designed to protect us from extortion and excessive bail, excessive fines imposed upon us, also from cruel and unusual punishments. And there are multiplied thousands and thousands of horror stories of American citizens being fined, levied, their bank accounts being emptied, them being penalized by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. I have read, I don't know how many examples of homeowners, landowners that have a run-in for whatever reason, wetlands, a creek, a pipe, standing water on your property, farmers, homeowners. I mean, there's just thousands and thousands of examples of individual landowners having a run-in with the Environmental Protection Agency, and the EPA says, you know, we're here from the government, do what we say, and fining people thousands of dollars every day that they do not fix a certain problem. Sometimes it's up in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've got a book in my library at home about, the title of it is The Next Civil War. And that book is full of examples of nothing but the EPA going onto people's land, telling them they can't use it, forbidding them to not use ranch lands, farmland, whatever, because it has a puddle of water on it, saying the ducks or the moth or the toad or whatever is in there, and fining them thousands and thousands of dollars in these big lawsuits. This is an example. The EPA, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, going into Amish homes and businesses and forbidding them to sell raw milk to somebody. My goodness, our whole nation grew up 200 plus years, people drinking raw milk. Cow's milk is what it's talking about. But all of a sudden, it's a crime for somebody to sell some raw milk to somebody else. The IRS fining, levying, emptying bank accounts. I gave an example of that, I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I spent some time talking about that. You know, unless you have had some personal experience or know somebody that's gone through a episode like this, it's hard to believe that that actually goes on in America. But I can tell you from personal experience, and I need to just take some time and tell my IRS story one of these days. And I am telling you, the government can do anything they want to. They can empty your bank account. They can ruin you, wreck you, and you'll be ruined before you get the mess straightened out. And it happens all the time. Excessiveness. The Eighth Amendment is to protect us from an excessive, out-of-control government, excessive bail, excessive fines, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. You'll see more and more stories about America turning into a police state. As I was studying for this radio broadcast, there was a news story. It was on one of the liberal news channels. I was flipping back and forth between CNN and Fox, and it was the one in between, HLN, I think it is. But they had a story on there, and at the top it said, excessive force, question mark. And it said the witness, they were talking to the witness, and the line underneath said, NYPD cop stomps on suspect's head. And it was talking about this police officer and how that they had attacked somebody and they really hadn't done anything. But you see news stories like that all the time. The people that gave us the Bill of Rights, they did not trust their government. They wanted some protections against excessive bail, excessive fines. Why does this go on in America? Why can the IRS ruin an individual or a small company? Why can the EPA come onto your land, ruin you financially, wreck you? Why can they do that? Because we the people allow it. They do that because they can, because they get away with it, and because we allow these things to go on. And so we see our time is quickly coming gone today. Just a few other things that I wanted to mention. Don't really have time, but recently in the Winston-Salem Journal, they had a Sunday series on SWAT teams and excessive force, and they had examples of SWAT teams going to the wrong house, destroying house. You see things like this all the time. We should not fear our government. The government should fear the people. The Eighth Amendment is there as a protection. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. Noah's going to come and give the contact information, but we do appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We hope you get a blessing. We hope it's a help to you, and we do desire your prayers for our ministry as we try to be faithful to this. So once again, thank you for listening. Have a great day, and God bless.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. It's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org. This has been Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATN.